All right, everyone, get ready, because today we are going deep into Google search and SEO.
Oh, yeah.
We've got a ton of great articles and guides all about how Google works and how to get our content ranking higher, but of course without turning into robots in the process.
Right.
And, you know, it's amazing to think that Google processes something like over 8.5 billion searches every single day.
Yeah, that's incredible.
That's just mind-blowing when you think about all the stuff that's happening behind the scenes.
It is. It really is.
For this deep dive, I'm really excited to explore how this knowledge can make us all smarter about our online presence, you know, like how to create content that both people and Google will love. In the sources, I keep seeing this idea of people-first content.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think is a really interesting concept.
It's a big one, and Google's been pushing it hard. Basically, it means create content that's actually valuable and engaging for your audience. Don't just try to game the system with shady tactics.
Right, right. So, ethical SEO, I'm all about it. But I have to admit, some of the technical stuff still kind of makes my head spin. Like, I know the source material talks about robots.txt and XML sitemaps.
Sure.
But I'm still a little fuzzy on how those things actually work.
I get it. There's a lot of jargon. Think of robots.txt, like a set of instructions you give to Google's bots. You're telling them what parts of your site they can and can't access.
So we're basically putting up a keep out sign for some parts of the site.
Exactly. And the XML sitemap? That's like a roadmap of your website. It lists all the important pages that you want Google to index, so their bots can easily find and understand your content.
Okay, so we've got the keep out signs, we've got the map. What about actually getting Google to notice our content? I keep seeing these things called rich results mentioned.
Yes, they're like the VIPs of search results. They're designed to really stand out.
You know, the search results with star ratings and images that really pop.
And they get way more clicks. The source material has some fascinating examples of how to use what's called structured data. That's how you can get those cool, rich results.
Okay, structured data. That sounds a little intimidating, but I'm willing to learn if it means more people are going to see my content.
It's really not that bad. It's just a way of organizing the information on your site so that Google can easily understand it. Like, let's say you have a website for your bakery. You can add structured data to your pages to tell Google things like your business hours, your address, customer reviews, and even what kind of pastries you sell.
That makes sense. So Google can use that to create those knowledge panels and business listings that we see.
Exactly.
Like we're speaking Google's language.
Precisely.
Amazing.
And the great thing is you don't have to be some coding whiz to use structured data. There are tools and plugins to help you set it up.
Okay, good. What are some other types of structured data besides just local business stuff?
Oh, there are tons. Events, recipes, articles, products, reviews, yeah. You name it. Google has this whole gallery of different schema types, and it's growing all the time.
That's so cool.
It can really make a huge difference in how your website shows up in those search results.
Okay, I'm convinced structured data is the way to go. Let's say we've got all these rich results thanks to our newfound structured data skills. How do we actually build authority so we're not just a pretty face, but a trusted source that people want to click on?
That's when things get really interesting. Remember how we were talking about Google's bots crawling through websites and following links?
Yeah.
Well, how you structure your website and how you use internal and external links plays a crucial role in building authority.
Okay, when you say website structure, what does that actually mean?
It's kind of like building a house. You wouldn't throw all the furniture and appliances into one giant room.
Right.
You'd organize them into different rooms based on their function and purpose.
Right. So you're saying instead of just having all my website pages jumbled up, I should group them into categories.
Exactly. That makes it easier for Google and your users to find what they're looking for. And when Google sees that your website is well organized, it knows your site's authoritative and credible.
It's like we're creating a path for users and bots to follow.
Precisely.
And that's where the internal links come in.
Right. By using relevant keywords to link to other pages on your site, you're not only helping users discover related content, but you're also giving Google's bots more pathways to explore and understand your site.
Like when you see those related articles at the bottom of blog posts.
Exactly.
So we're guiding users deeper into our website and showing Google that we're a valuable source on this topic.
Internal links are great for user experience and SEO.
Got it. Internal links, check. What about those external links, the backlinks?
Yes. Backlinks are like gold in the SEO world. They're one of the strongest signals to Google that your website is authoritative and trustworthy. If other reputable websites are linking to your content, it means your content is worth sharing.
It's like a vote of confidence from other websites. Yep. And those votes of confidence, do they really make a difference?
Huge difference. The source material actually cited a study that said over 66% of pages with no backlinks get zero organic traffic from Google.
Whoa, okay. So we definitely need backlinks.
You do, but it's not just about getting any backlink. The quality matters just as much as the quantity.
Okay, so how do we get those high-quality backlinks?
That is a fantastic question, but it's a question four of this.
Part two of this deep dive, building a strong backlink profile takes some effort.
All right, I'm intrigued. I can't wait to hear more. This has been a great start, but I think it's time for a quick break. We'll be back soon with part two of this deep dive, where we'll be exploring the world of backlink building and even more ethical and effective SEO strategies. See you soon.
Welcome back.
Back for more SEO goodness.
Ready to unravel the mysteries of backlink building.
Oh yeah, that last segment really left me wanting more. I am very curious about how to attract those valuable backlinks ethically. Well, the source material actually had some really great tips on that. It really comes down to creating amazing content that other websites will naturally want to link to.
Okay, sure, but it's got to be more than just writing good content. There's got to be some strategies we can use to, you know, get that content in front of the right people.
Absolutely. One of the things the source talked about a lot was guest blogging. Think about it. You get your content published on another website in your niche, you're reaching a whole new audience. Plus, you get a backlink from a trusted source.
It's like we're borrowing their megaphone.
Exactly. And it's a win-win for both sides. The host website gets fresh content from an expert, and you get that exposure and the backlink.
Makes sense. But I'm guessing not just any guest post will do. We have to be strategic about it.
Oh, for sure. The source material stressed how important it is to target websites that are relevant to your niche, and also ones that have a high domain authority.
Wait, hold on. Domain authority? What is that?
Basically, it's a score that predicts how well a website will rank in search results. So the higher the domain authority, the more influential the website, and the more valuable the backlink from that site will be.
So we want backlinks from the cool kids.
Exactly.
What else besides guest blogging?
Building relationships with other bloggers and influencers is huge.
That's what it's all about, right? Building those connections.
Yeah. When you have good relationships in your industry, people are more likely to share your content, link to your site, maybe even collaborate with you on projects.
So it's not even just about SEO, it's about community.
That's the heart of it. Ethical SEO isn't about manipulating search engines, it's about creating real value, connecting with real people, and building a real presence online.
I love that. It's so refreshing. Are there any tools or resources out there that can help us with backlink building?
There are a bunch, actually. The source mentioned Ahrefs and SEMrush as good ones to check out. They can help you analyze your backlink profile, find link building opportunities, track your progress.
I'll have to check those out. So let's say we've got our backlink strategy all set. Are there any other SEO tactics that we should be thinking about?
Well, we touched on voice search optimization in the last part. I think it's worth spending a little more time on.
Yes, please. Voice search is everywhere these days. I really want to know how to optimize content for all those conversational queries.
Well, the main thing is you have to think about how people actually talk when they're using voice search.
Yeah.
They're not typing in keywords. They're asking questions using natural language.
So our content needs to sound more natural.
Exactly.
Is it just about the tone?
It's also about giving really clear and concise answers.
So instead of writing a super long article about the history of coffee, maybe I should create a shorter piece that just answers the question, how do I make a perfect cup of coffee at home?
Perfect example. Voice search users are looking for quick and simple answers. If you can give them that, you're golden.
I get it.
Yeah.
So conversational, concise, and direct, maybe even a little bit fun.
Exactly. And, you know, optimizing for voice search isn't just about those digital assistants. It also makes your content more engaging for human readers.
That's a good point. Anything technical we need to do to optimize for voice search? Do we need to change our website code or something?
A lot of the things we already talked about for regular SEO are also important for voice search. Stuff like using clear headings, optimizing your images, making sure your website's mobile friendly.
So we're on the right track.
You are. But there are a few more things you can do. The source mentioned something called long-tail keywords. Remember those?
Oh, yeah. The longer, more specific keyword phrases.
Right. People tend to use longer phrases when they're speaking. So using those long-tail keywords can help you rank higher.
Instead of targeting pizza, we might target best pizza delivery near me open now.
Nailed it. And structured data is really important for voice search, too. It helps those digital assistants understand what your content is about.
I'm telling you, structured data is the key to everything.
It really is.
Okay, so we've got our long tail keywords. We've got our structured data. What else can we do to make our content shine in voice search?
The source had an interesting suggestion. They said it's really helpful to create content that answers common questions in a straightforward way.
So like an FAQ page.
Yeah, or even just specific blog posts that address certain questions. When people use voice search, they want quick answers. If you can provide those, they'll choose you.
It's like we're getting summoned by the voice search gods.
Uh-huh, exactly. Google wants to give people the best possible answers. So if your content is clear and accurate, you'll rank higher.
This is making me rethink how we need to create content for voice search. It's not just about keywords. It's about anticipating people's questions and giving them useful and engaging answers.
That's a great way to put it. Honestly, that's something we should all be thinking about, even for regular SEO.
It's all about creating stuff that people actually want to read or listen to or watch.
Absolutely. And when you do that, SEO just happens naturally.
I love that approach. We've been talking a lot about Google, but are there other search engines we should be paying attention to?
Great question. It's easy to forget there are others. Google is obviously the king, but there are others that can drive traffic to your site.
Like Bing.
Bingo. Bing is number two, and it's especially popular with older folks. So if that's your target audience, definitely optimize for Bing.
What about YouTube? I feel like a lot of people use YouTube to search, especially for how-to videos and product reviews.
You're so right. YouTube is actually the second biggest search engine overall, and it's owned by Google. If you're creating videos, optimizing for YouTube can really help you get more views.
Okay, so it's good to diversify and explore different search engines.
For sure, and a lot of the core SEO principles we've been talking about apply to all of them.
It's all about creating a valuable online presence, no matter which search engine people are using.
Couldn't really have said it better myself.
This has been awesome. We've learned so much about Google, about SEO, and how to create a really effective online presence ethically.
It's been a blast diving deep with you. And remember, this is just the beginning. SEO is always changing, and there's always more to discover.
Exactly. Keep learning, keep experimenting, and you never know, your website might just become the next big SEO star. Okay, so last time we were talking about how to stay on top of all the latest changes in SEO.
Right, the ever-changing world of SEO.
It's a lot to keep up with.
It is.
Where do we even begin?
Well, one thing the source really emphasized was becoming a lifelong learner. Google's always updating its algorithm, so we got to be ready to adapt.
I hear that. But there's just so much info out there, it's easy to get overwhelmed.
It really is.
Any tips on where to start?
Following industry blogs and publications is a good one. There are some really great resources out there. They do a great job of breaking down all the latest SEO trends and updates so you can actually understand them.
Do you have any favorite blogs or anything you could recommend?
Oh, tons. Search Engine Journal, Moz, Search Engine Land are all great places to start. They have articles and case studies, even video tutorials sometimes.
Awesome. I'm writing those down. What about going beyond just reading, though? The source mentioned something about conferences and webinars.
Yes. Those are great. You can learn from the pros, network with other SEO folks, really get a feel for what's happening in the industry.
It's like a backstage pass to the SEO world.
Exactly.
Plus, you never know what kind of connections you'll make.
Absolutely.
At some point, we got to actually put all this knowledge to work, right?
Oh, yeah. The source talked a lot about the importance of experimentation.
That's interesting. I think a lot of people are afraid of SEO because they think it's some super complicated thing, but it sounds like it's more about being curious and trying stuff out.
It really is. It's like being a scientist in a way, testing out different hypotheses.
And you never know what you'll discover.
Exactly.
It reminds me of that saying, the only way to do great work is to love what you do.
And I think that's true for SEO too.
I agree.
If we're passionate about our websites and we're not afraid to experiment, the SEO success will come naturally. It will. And that passion, it's contagious. It inspires others to do the same.
I love that idea. We're all in this together.
We are.
This deep dive has been incredible. We've really gotten a handle on how Google works, how SEO works, and how to create a truly effective online presence the right way.
It's been a pleasure exploring all this with you. And remember, the learning never stops.
Absolutely. Keep exploring, keep experimenting, and who knows, maybe your website will be at the top of the search results someday.
That's all for today's deep dive. Thanks for joining us.